from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You can find our next guest blogging the boys. That's RJ Ochoa, SB Nation. Joining us in the sports bar to talk some Dallas Cowboys offseason, RJ. We won't sugarcoat it. We're scratching our head here trying to figure out what the actual plan is when you consider that three of the Cowboys' best players, if not their three best players, are all kind of with unresolved contract situations, and two of them are set to be free agents as soon as next season. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. Great to be with you. Hope your summer has been treating you kindly. Yeah, this has been it's been an off season. It's really kind of the only way I can describe it for the Cowboys. There's been frustration at just about every single corner, but training camp starts in about whatever it is, 10, 12 days. And at that point, football will be happening, which will make everything feel a little bit less annoying.
Yeah. Or for the Cowboy quarterback, are we going to see football? I mean, the walking boot for Dak Prescott, it's somewhere between nothing and something. I mean, where do you put this right now, RJ? What is the level of concern?
Honestly, right now, I kind of buy what Dak is, I don't want to say selling, but he mentioned that he wore the boot because last time he'd gone fishing, his ankle had swollen up. And I've never, you know, had a major injury myself. I hope that's true for you all as well. But, you know, it makes sense that, you know, when it's cold out, it hurts or something like that. And so it is the same ankle he injured in 2020. Obviously, everybody remembers that. So that kind of passes the smell test for me. I recognize that because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys and because he has the contractual issue hanging over him that he does, it's going to make this a bigger story. But I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing because it is something. But all told, the most annoying part of this whole thing was that it happened on the 4th of July and I had to stop prepping the burgers to get some stuff over.
That's dedication to the job at hand. RJ, I'm wondering if you're Dak and you're trying to get a new deal. I mean, the boot, you're wearing it because it's a precautionary thing and it probably helps you heal, but it's not like a great optic if you're trying to get maximum dollar out of the team that your contract is expiring with.
Yeah, and you know, Dak had a quote a few weeks ago about how he may not necessarily be looking to break the bank or whatever the case may be. And I think that, you know, the boot is something that I think kind of speaks to Dak, right? Like, to your point, if you were advising someone and who was in this position, they said, well, you know, what do you recommend? How do I get every dollar I possibly can? You would say, well, if you've got a foot thing, like, you better not step, no pun intended, foot in public. Nobody needs to see this for you. So to me, that also kind of represents that Dak has nothing to hide, so to speak. But, you know, Dak has made an enormous amount of money. I mean, he has won every negotiation he has gotten himself into with the Cowboys. And if he wants to, he can win this one. He's on the verge of that. He has all the cards. He has all the leverage. And so it really now is just a matter of when the Cowboys are going to blink, in my mind.
Well, there's also this, too, because there's, I would think, a human nature thing, because you don't see quite often, not two, but three, arguably three, three. Your three best players on this team all have contract issues. Two of them, as Danger mentioned, heading to free agency. What is the dynamic if one of these three guys gets the contract and the other two are thinking, okay, what about me here?
I think that ultimately everybody's happy for everybody. You know, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I don't know who the goose and who the gander is here, but I mean, I think that everybody understands that everybody, these three, to your point, these are the three best players on the team. This isn't just three dudes who are eligible for new deals. This is literally the three most important, most seismic, most influential, most cornerstone, whatever you want to call it, franchise-level players. And I think that, you know, if I were Micah Parsons, I would want to get paid, and the Cowboys are fortunate that he hasn't necessarily flexed any kind of muscle. But Micah has the, you know, largest amount of grains left in his hourglass, so to speak. And I think if you're Micah, you probably understand that, and you probably understand that you may be the lowest priority because Dak is set to hit true free agency, and the Cowboys probably don't want to get into a franchise tag dance with City. But I would imagine it's probably frustrating if you have to watch somebody else get paid knowing that you've done everything you can to, you know, make your claim for your own bag, and that, you know, you just have to wait for these guys to figure out whenever they want to work, because that's kind of what it's ultimately coming down to.
RJ, has any consideration been given at quarterback for the future, or is it always been it's Dak or bust? I look at Trey Lance, and I think of the promise of Trey Lance, and of course we didn't see it materialize at his first team, but he's been with the Cowboys for a second now. He's kind of underneath Dak Prescott here, and I'm wondering if you're the Cowboys, if you have the foresight to say, like, hey, Dak is beat up already, and he's 31, and you could argue that he's right now not a top 10 quarterback. What are they thinking about for the future at the position?
Yeah, I mean, look, to be clear, my stance is pay Dak. He's a top 5 to 7 quarterback at any given moment. You know, that's kind of a rotating sort of door, but say you don't feel that way. Okay, cool. Let's look at this objectively. Let's look at this, you know, intellectually. You're right. Trey Lance is on the team, and he is an option. However, Dak, as everybody fully well knows by now, is set to hit free agency next year. They can't franchise tag him. If he hits the market, it's the market. Trey Lance is also entering the final year of his contract this year with the Dallas Cowboys, which is why the trade never made sense. You know, from that standpoint, all the people that were like, oh, here's the leverage against Dak. So even if you know, because you're not going to bench Dak this year. So say you know, simulated the season and, you know, you go 12-5, you lose to the Packers in the playoffs again, whatever. Okay, great. So now we have this Trey Lance dude who's completely unproven, who's now been in the NFL for 4 years. We still have no idea who he is. Dak is gone playing for the Titans or the Giants or the Raiders or whoever. Hey, Trey, let's sit, let's talk. And now you've handed the same level of leverage, albeit to a lesser degree, to Trey Lance. And you're going to have to pay him even though he's an unknown. So none of it has truly made sense, which is why, say the Cowboys really did believe, okay, we have to move on from Dak Prescott. I understand that he has a no-trade clause, but it would stand to reason that the logical thing to do would have been to have approached him at the beginning of this offseason and said, hey, dude, we appreciate everything you've done for us, but we just don't think this future between us is going to work out. Why don't you work with us? We'll work with you to trade you somewhere where you want to be. You can thrive. You can flourish. We can recoup something for you instead of just going through this whole thing for absolutely nothing. So even if you want to move on, they've gone about this in about as inefficient of a manner as possible.
RJ Ochoa from SB Nation giving us some knowledge here on the Dallas Cowboys. And, hey, it's a passing league, RJ, but you still need a good running back. And, hey, look who's back. It's Zeke Elliott. He's going to be 29 in a couple weeks. And since the year 2019, he's had only one 1,000-yard rushing season. Last year, of course, spending it up in New England. Is that really plan A, or is there some other guy that we're not familiar with that could really get some carries here in the backfield?
You know, the Cowboys are you know, going to say and continue to say that Zeke is their short yardage guy or whatever. I just have a very difficult time imagining how Zeke doesn't easily have the majority of carries for all members of the backfield this year. You know, 2 years ago when Zeke was already at this point in his career, the Cowboys had Tony Pollard on their team. And I'm talking 2 years ago, not last year when Pollard was coming back from the injury. And Pollard, you know, maybe you had him on your fantasy team. He was one of the most explosive players in the NFL. He was dynamic. He was incredible. And the Cowboys still justified giving Zeke Elliott 231 carries. So if you could, you know, look at that version of Tony Pollard and say, you know what, Zeke needs the ball 200 times. I have no idea who's on the roster right now that could cause you to say, you know what, Zeke, we're good. You can stay on the sidelines here on first and 10. So, I mean, this is, as far as I'm concerned, my assessment of the situation, it is Zeke's backfield. And, yeah, Rico Dowdle may pop in for a moment or two. Deuce Vaughn may catch a screen pass or something like that. Everybody obviously learned your story last year. But, you know, the Cowboys seem to be really testing the idea that running backs don't matter, with the one, ironically, that mattered the most to them from the very beginning, now 8 years ago when they took him fourth overall. So, it is strange, to say the least, but it is the most Dallas Cowboys thing ever to bring Zeke back and to have him wear number 15 so they could sell a whole bunch more jerseys.
I'm curious about the defense as well, RJ, with Quinn leaving for Washington. What does this defense look like moving forward? I would say that the relationship between Parsons and Zimmer feels like that would be a little bit of a tough relationship to foster and nurture. But what are you hearing and seeing so far this offseason?
Yeah, it seems a little bit cool. You know, not necessarily like, you know, hanging around the campfire singing songs and roasting s'mores or anything like that. This was among the things the Cowboys did this offseason, probably the one I had the biggest issue with. Just because it smells so lame. And I don't mean that with regards to Mike Zimmer as a human, obviously. But, I mean, I don't know if you remember the names they were connected to during the week of the Super Bowl. It was Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan. And, you know, the moment those names came out, everybody in my Twitter mentions was like, oh, God, Zimmer's awesome. Like, you know, and, you know, of course he is, you know, if that's the field we're working with and operating here. But this really just seemed like, well, you know, Zimmer's already in the HR's system. He's worked here before. You know, he's hanging out. He lives locally. Let's just have him come on in. I have a very difficult time seeing how this makes sense. Again, I like this team. I mean, I'm a fan. You know, I don't mean to just be completely and totally negative, but it's just been that kind of few months. And so Zimmer is definitely not Dan Quinn. And so, beyond the fact that they're changing defensive philosophies, they have been the exception to the norm on defense for 3 years in a row as far as sacks and takeaways and turnovers and interceptions are concerned. Think about, you know, the national headlines and things y'all have talked about relative to Trayvon Diggs or Deron Bland, obviously Micah Parsons himself. So, I mean, it makes sense that at some point the bottom will come out, you know, to a degree, and it's all kind of lining up, you know, for Mike Zimmer to be the fall guy in my mind, but I'd love to be wrong there as well.
Yeah, RJ, sorry to bring this up for you and any Cowboy fan here, but I'm going to read you Josh Allen's stats. 7 of 15, 94 yards, one touchdown. That was not a quarter. That was not a half. That was the entire game. That was Josh Allen's passing stat line against the Cowboys because they didn't need to throw him. The Bills ran for 266 yards. I didn't know the Bills on both sides of the ball could be that physical. So when you look back, what happened that day, and was that just a blip, or is that a cause for concern that, hey, against the Cowboys, this is a team that you can be physical against?
Well, I've said before, and including to y'all, that Sean McDermott terrifies me, and that's why I'm certain there are probably Bills fans who have had enough, but he has terrorized the Dallas Cowboys in different stops. When he was the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, he coordinated the last game that Tony Romo ever played. That was the game he was injured in Thanksgiving Day in 2015. Obviously, he's a disciple of Jim Johnson, the great Jim Johnson, and he always gave Tony Romo fits. And so it kind of is tradition, I guess, for Sean McDermott to destroy the Cowboys. This was a very different type of way. And I think the reason it happened was, you know, the Cowboys, you know, they have been struggling to defend the run for 3 years now. The first time they lost to the 49ers in the wild card round of the playoffs, the Jimmy Garoppolo Niners, they got beat up. And the whole offseason after, they talked about wanting to get better and wanting to, you know, develop some glass eaters and things like that. And they just didn't do it. I mean, they drafted Mozzie Smith in the first round last year to ideally clog up the interior of their defensive line. That didn't really work. I mean, you know, Dan Quinn's defense, for as wonderful as it is and as many turnovers and takeaways and sacks and bells and whistles that it comes with, it's a bit of a light defense. I mean, the Cowboys didn't really have, especially after Leighton Vander Esch got hurt, didn't really have a classic off-ball linebacker on their roster last year. They were playing safeties up front. So, I mean, it kind of is obvious when you say it like that, but they just weren't prepared physically for, you know, the meat that Buffalo and eventually Green Bay ultimately handed them.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
With so much happening this offseason, so much change, so much potential change on the horizon, depending on how they perform this upcoming season, RJ, what do you think you and I and Gene are talking about when we have you on a year from today about this Dallas Cowboys franchise?
It's so strange because, I mean, I can look at them, and I know I've sounded really negative here, but and I can make the case for them. I mean, they have – I don't know exactly how your audience feels about Dak, but, I mean, he finished second in MVP voting last year, and I don't know anyone who's gotten, you know, less credit for something like that. They have, what, the second, third best wide receiver in the NFL in CeeDee Lamb for him to throw to. They have one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. They have one of the best cornerback tandems in the NFL. And for all his faults, you know, Mike McCarthy – also gets relatively no credit. I mean, you know, do you all know how many teams have won more regular season games than the Cowboys in the last 3 years? I mean, do you have a guess?
No, I know the answer to that. Five. The Cowboys in the last 5 years. Is that right? Or
The last 3 years.
Oh, last 3 years. Okay, I thought you said five. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I use that time set because the first year of Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott got hurt, and I think we all understand that that kind of makes it a wash. And so, you know, the last 3 years, there is a singular team that has won more regular season games than them, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs, who we all regard, and I apologize now to you all, as a dynasty. And so, I mean, you know, that's pretty elite company. Now, I recognize and acknowledge that that's the regular season and the jokes write themselves, but, I mean, this is a very successful team. I mean, not just, like, moderately successful, but an inordinately successful team. They've gone to the playoffs 3 years in a row, which hadn't happened for a long time for the Cowboys. And I'm sure that you've dealt with this in your own market, you know, with the success that Sean McDermott and Josh Allen have had, even though it's not the ultimate success. I mean, you know, Bills fans were in this desert of wandering, you know, before these truly are glory days compared to what, you know, preceded them. And so, I mean, people ask, like, oh, if the Cowboys don't reach the NFC Championship game, should the Cowboys, you know, fire Mike McCarthy? And a lot of that depends on the context in my mind. How do they get there? How do they lose? Whatever. But, I mean, it does seem written for this to just kind of be a throwaway year for everybody involved, but I could totally see them. I mean, if you put all the teams that could win the Super Bowl into a box, the Cowboys are, I think, at the very top of that list. They're one of the better teams in the NFC. So it is an enigma. It is a ball of mystery. And it will be 100% entertaining from start to finish. And for that, I'm grateful.
All right. So indulge us for a second here, RJ. Both Gene and I are members of hashtag Box Wine Mafia. So we have a friendly wager happening here in the sports bar, and we're waiting for it to play out. We don't know necessarily if or how it will play out. We have some news today. Gene, I don't know if you saw this or not, but you know, Belichick is fortifying his media portfolio, joining Inside the NFL.
He's got to do something.
He's working. The bet is, we have a box of wine bet that Bill Belichick will not be coaching next season. Now, my co-host over here, Gino, believes that if he is coaching next season, it's one of two teams, most likely the Cowboys or the New York Football Giants. You know the situation there with Jerry. You know the situation with Mike McCarthy going into this season. What do you think the likelihood is that if it goes poorly for the Cowboys and they underachieve, that Bill Belichick would come out of his media retirement, here's retirement, and get back on a sideline for Dallas specifically?
I mean, this is a massive question. You know, this is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you guys are like, you get one plate. You know what I mean? And here's the spaghetti, and here's the mac and cheese. But You know, I mean, on the surface, I would say, why would Bill Belichick want the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys? But to your point, I mean, he's on Inside the NFL. He's on McAfee. Like, who would have ever thought, you know, that Belichick would be doing these things for, you know, on a weekly basis, including the Manning cast? And so, I mean, maybe he's more open and receptive to things like that. Now, you know, generally in the NFL, you see teams go from one archetype to another when it comes to head coaches. They go from the young hotshot coordinator to the, you know, wily, savvy, you know, dude who's been there, skins on the wall. And the Cowboys went from the hotshot guy in Jason Garrett, because that's who he was when they hired him in 2011, to the grizzled, you know, veteran in Mike McCarthy. So Belichick kind of runs counter to that, you know, flipping and flopping. But beyond all of that, I mean, I just have a very difficult time seeing how, you know, especially if you forecast all of the question marks into the future, why would Bill Belichick want to take over a quarterbackless team whose star pass rusher is talking about on his podcast, so he doesn't have an extension with the team, and the top wide receiver doesn't have a deal either, right? Like, there's no real stability here. I do think my personal bet, if Belichick isn't coaching the Cowboys, I do think it is for an NFC East team. However, I would offer the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cowboys and Eagles have been kind of tied together intrinsically for the last 3 years. They came down to, or they were Shaq Leonard's final two choices, obviously, there in December. And obviously Nick Sirianni's on some thin ice as well. And that team is really stable, and that is a really aggressive front office. I could totally see them saying, let's do this together. I understand the historical significance of Belichick and the Giants, and it would be a great story, but I think that the Eagles probably make the most sense, but there may be a team that we can't even identify right now that all of a sudden has an opening.
I would never underestimate Jerry Jones and his ability to sell, because I never could have imagined that the all-time great head coach of the New York Giants, Bill Parcells, would later coach Dallas. You want to talk about a turn there, RJ. Think about that. I think anything is possible.
That's true. And, you know, a few years into Bill Parcells' reign, I mean, Jerry finally got back involved. He signed Terrell Owens, and that was kind of the beginning of the end. But Bill Parcells did provide some stability and did obviously kind of turn the corner for a team that, you know, at that moment in time was only 8 years removed from winning the title. And I would offer that you and I, all of us obviously acknowledge that Bill Parcells is a tremendous coach and is a Hall of Famer and had a lot of success with the Dallas Cowboys. He never took the Cowboys to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, let alone 3 years in a row, which, again, I would offer as something to consider when we talk about how bad Mike McCarthy is at his job.
I love it. RJ, it's great having you on with us, man, and we're excited for training camp just like every other football fan is. We know that you've got a lot going on here leading up to the Cowboys camp. Let us know about your work here at Blogging the Boys.
Of course, doing all sorts of stuff every single day at bloggingtheboys.com, talking about America's team. And I know that there are a lot of teams who try to lay claim to that title. Too bad. Y'all are all losers. It's ours. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RJ Ochoa. Those kind of serve as hubs for everything I do. I appreciate you guys. It was great to catch up. I hope the summer's been treating you well. And I hope you're excited to eat a lot of meat and cheese and ranch dressing throughout the course of football.
Yeah, okay. No, we don't eat ranch dressing. That's for sure. But RJ, honestly, like, yes, you speak to the choir. Patriot fans, we're American. No, you're not. No, don't even come for that title there. I've seen that. Also, I want to point out something. Follow RJ for his Houston Astros takes and tweets and everything else. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. They're lying in the weeds after all these injuries, right? If you're an Oriole fan, Yankee fan, are they going to be the team that pops out of the West here and causes a problem here in the postseason?
Yeah, well, they're two games back right now at Seattle, and I certainly don't trust them to hold on. And I should offer, as I am an Astros fan, that the ALCS was incredibly awkward for me because I have a lot of Dallas followers, given, you know, what I do for a living. But I say this with all due respect, but on second thought, I say this with absolutely zero respect. I in no way fear the Yankees. Like, bring it on. That would be such a treat to obviously face the Yankees, given our history against them. Baltimore is definitely, you know, spicy and interesting and intriguing, although we swept them the last time we played them a few weeks ago. And so, yeah, I mean, the Astros are the ultimate, like, bad guy who you got to, you know, chop their head off when you knock them out in the movie. You know, you can't leave them on the ground. You can't leave a weapon near them, because they were dead. I mean, they were dead in the water, and all of a sudden, you know, it's the All-Star break, and they're two games back. And, you know, I don't know if Luis Garcia is coming back, if Lance McCullers is coming back. I mean, if Kyle Tucker's coming back soon, I mean, they've had injury after injury after injury after injury, and yet here they are. They are the most inevitable team in sports outside, and again, I'm sorry to you both, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. RJ, enjoy the rest of your summer, man. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great rest of the day.
You got
Thanks,
it. RJ Ochoa blogging the boys. He said that the Astros are inevitable. The Astros are the Thanos of Major League Baseball.
If you're a Cowboy fan, heck, you're not even a Cowboy fan. When I don't know. I really don't know. If you are dusting off Zeke Elliott and you're going to count on him for 200 to 250 carries, is that really the plan here? Are they going to go that imbalanced, though, Danger? Is it just going to be let's have Dak until his arm falls off?
Mm-hmm. Will Dak's arm fall off? Will CeeDee Lamb come down with 150 receptions? It's a compelling team. It always is. But this offseason has been noteworthy for the Dallas Cowboys. It could be that next season, that next year at this time, we're talking about a brand new roster, a brand new head coach, a brand new quarterback. Like you can't discount any of it based on their actions as of right now.
He does bring up something interesting, though, because if Philadelphia falls short, and if Dallas falls short, okay, and we've seen this before, but for Philadelphia, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, Nick Sirianni, okay, you get to keep your job, pat him on the head. We're going to bring in two all-star coordinators here. If that all falls apart again, will I win my bet?
You think Philadelphia's a dark horse for Belichick?
Yes.
I think he's done, man. I think Howie Roseman is going to look at Bill Belichick and say, yeah, I don't know that you're able to relate to this player. And if you're a team like the Cowboys.
Have you seen who he's with? He's with that generation now.
You're right. You're right. Maybe that's the whole move here by Belichick.
We're looking at this wrong. Better looking than yours.
No, we're looking at this all wrong. He's with the 24-year-old so that he could better relate to today's NFL player. Yes.
Now all of a sudden you're worried.
Now I understand. Now it makes sense. I wouldn't want him in Dallas because if you had to rebuild, you going to trust Bill Belichick to rebuild? Look what he did with the Patriots. He couldn't rebuild.
Well, that's an excellent point because you're kind of involved in the personnel decisions, right?
Right. And I do like RJ's take that with the Cowboys, they've gone kind of back and forth between grizzled veteran coach, hotshot young coach, grizzled veteran coach. If they do move on from McCarthy, if they do fall short of expectation and they decide to go in a different direction, it's hotshot coordinator time. They're getting Ben Johnson from the Lions to be their next head coach.
But there's got to be a reason Ben Johnson's like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Money.
Well,
money. Money. He values himself more than what they were offering him on the market this last offseason. And he knows if I say put here and we ball out, and our offense looks good, you don't think Jerry's going to back up the Brinks truck for the hotshot offensive coordinator that can get Detroit to the postseason every year? Yeah. I think it's money. It's always about money. Interesting stuff. Love RJ. Glad we had him on today, Gino. Thanks for setting that up.
He is one of the best.
Yeah.
I'm happy that he's getting more run nationally. He was on with Kay Adams.
Saw that. Yeah. Yeah. We got more on the way next in the sports bar. Including Deion Dawkins and his conversation with Coward, which happened here in the last day or so. Some interesting takeaways from that I wanted to kind of point out, dissect, and break apart. And, Gino, I know that we've got another made-for-TV event happening tonight.
Listen, the low-hanging fruit is let's make fun of the ESPYs, right, or whatever it is. And tonight it'll be on, and we'll go over some of the things if you want to tune in, what you can expect. But honestly, there is one thing they're going to do tonight where the reaction is not just me. This is overseas. Like, this is getting huge blowback. And I'm actually wondering if the blowback is so hard that this person's going to opt out there and say he couldn't make it.
Or is the blowback so hard that it actually increases the viewership of...
Well, that, I think, was the whole point from the ABC standpoint.
Yeah, but yeah. We'll get to that and more next. We've got time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool. 866-4326 is our phone number. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.